Our Heavenly Father, we forgive. We ask that you forgive all our sins. We confess it. We don't love you. We ask that you forgive our sins and help us. Help us to be a better person in your sight and in Christ Jesus. Hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. Do not remember our rebellious way and our iniquity. O Lord, remember your great mercy and your love. According to your love, I pray that you bless us by your grace, so that our faith is strengthened by that, so that we be able to continue to serve you and to serve you with gladness, to serve you with eagerness. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I picked the title is from the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because we are afraid that we don't do a good job. Sometimes we do a good job in one day, but we don't do a good job in another day. And Paul tells us, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. When Paul mentioned it in chapter 2, verse 12 in Philippians, he didn't get it out of his own mind. He get it from the Old Testament teaching. Will you please turn to Psalm chapter 2? It's a Psalm of David. David is the man who's after God's heart. And King David said, chapter 2, verse 10, therefore, you king, all these kings are rebellious kings. They rebel against the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And King David asked them, you king, be wise, be warned, you ruler of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. When we work out our salvation, we work it out by serving the Lord with fear and rejoicing with trembling. We are afraid we don't do a good job, because he's going to judge us according to what we have done. So we want to make sure, think that we haven't done it right. We ask God to forgive us, and that he will forgive us, and we have a new start. Okay, go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. How do we work out our salvation? The only way we can work out our salvation is to know his will, to know his word. And so that's why in chapter 2, verse 19, consequently, you are no longer foreigner, and you are not alien anymore, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. This is what we are now. Verse 19, you write that down. This is what we are now. But what we were before is verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentile by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision. This circumcision is done in the body by the hand of man. And remember, at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigner to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in this world. So, verse 11 to verse 12, this is what we were before we come to know Christ. Verse 19 is what we are now. when we come to know Jesus Christ. So I want to explain to you a few Bible verses, a few words that we have a deeper understanding in verse 11 and verse 12. Right beside the uncircumcised, circle the word, and also circle the word, the circumcision. I go back to take a look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And I know Paul, when he made this kind of statement, superficially, he's opposing the teaching of Moses in Genesis. Would you please go back to Genesis? Why? How come Paul, when he writes the New Testament, he always go back to the Old Testament? Why would he do that? I want you to write that down in chapter 2, verse 20, Ephesians. Because now we are fellow citizens with God's people. We are members of God's household. We are no longer foreigners. We are not alien anymore. We are God's people, just like Israel. So we need to build on the foundations of the apostle. Right beside the apostle, you write New Testament. And then the prophet, you write down Old Testament. Our life needed to be built upon the solid foundation of God's word. Come from the Old Testament and come from the New Testament. Go back to Genesis. Chapter 17, you write beside the circumcised or uncircumcised, you write that 17. Paul mentioned, Moses mentioned it very clear. Without the circumcision, they will be cut off. 17 verse 27, Genesis. And every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or brought from the foreigner, was circumcised with him. Because without the circumcision, no one can be the citizens of God. So, verse 23, on that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household, or brought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. And Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that same day. I want you to write that down, that circumcision. What does it mean? By the circumcision in the law. I want you to write that down. There's no contradiction between the Old Testament and the New Testament. As long as we understand the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 1. So I want you to write that down so that you understand when people ask you, there's contradiction between the Old Testament Moses teaching and the New Testament teaching by Paul. There is no contradiction. Okay? If there's contradiction, because it is, you are misunderstood his word. Because we don't build our life on the solid foundation of the apostle and prophet. We don't study in detail. We call ourselves Christian. When the non-Christian challenge us, we can't answer. That's shame on us. Okay? You write that down, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. The law, right beside the law, You write down Genesis chapter 17. The law about the circumcision is only a shadow of the good things that are to come. The law is not the reality themselves. They are just a shadow of the good things that are to come. So I want you to write that down. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, regarding the Jewish people, they call themselves circumcision. And then they call the Gentile uncircumcised. They brag about they are the circumcised. They are the descendant of Abraham. They follow the teaching of Moses, but they don't quite understand the spirit of the law. They don't understand the reality of the law. I tell you what is the reality. The reality, you write that down, right beside the reality, Hebrew chapter 10, verse 1. You write Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Right beside Colossians 2:11, you write Ephesians 2:11. Just happen to be the same Bible verses, okay? Colossians 2:11. In Christ Jesus, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision but done by the hand of man. The circumcision done by the hand of man, they are the Jewish people. Because Abraham was circumcised, his son was circumcised, and from this day onward, every Jewish male child, on the eighth day that he was born, he was circumcised by the hand of man. But Paul said that circumcision by the hand of man is only a shadow, not the reality. The circumcision done by Jesus Christ, that is the reality. Okay? So when you look at the Bible verses, look like Paul is contradicting the teaching of Moses. That's not true. But just that we don't understand the true meaning of it. Now we understood. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, in him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hand of man, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Circumcision done by Christ, you write down Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, that is the reality. That is to come. That is the good thing that are to come. And that's the real thing. I go back, and I want you to go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Galatians 5, 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. Because all this circumcision, you write that down, circumcision is by the hand of man. Okay? Circumcision by the hand of man, or without circumcision by the hand of man, has no value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. If a person expresses his faith by love, that person, you write that down, is circumcised by Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, when we look at, you know what? I don't know about you. That is what I were before. I don't read the scripture. I just listen to the preacher to preach to me. And then I think I know the stuff. I understand the Bible. Until I read the Bible, I don't understand. The more I read it, the more I don't understand. And then I make a decision to study myself and to study diligently. And think that I don't understand, I put it within my heart and I cry out to God, could you reveal to me why it is like that? Why you are saying what you are saying? And what does it really mean to me? Then gradually, He revealed the truth to me. And then I have a better understanding. Once I go through that hindrance, and the more I read it, the more I understand. So we all have to go through that. I pray that you have to go through that. Anyone who expresses his faith through love, that person is circumcised, not by the hand of man. That person is circumcised by Jesus Christ. And they are God's workmanship. You write that down. That is chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work. To do good work is to love one another. That is to do good work. When you do good work, which God prepared in advance for you to do, you are truly circumcised by the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to write that down, brother and sister. A true circumcision is not a circumcision by the hand of man in a male organ. The true circumcision, according to Jeremiah teaching, is a circumcision of your heart. Circumcision of your ear. If you refuse to listen to God's word, you haven't been circumcised by God. I want you to write that down. Two kinds of circumcision. One is by man, by the hand of man. One is by Christ. As far as Jewish people is concerned, they are all circumcised by the hand of man. But they cannot enter the kingdom of God by man circumcision. And Jeremiah said that you need to be circumcised with your ear. Let God to circumcise your ear. That means you listen to God's word. Circumcise, let God to circumcise your heart. That means your heart not filled with the worldly stuff, your heart is filled with what God's word within your heart. If you don't have God's word within your heart, you haven't been circumcised, brother and sister. Don't keep yourself. Jeremiah said that. Don't sow the seed in the thorn and bushes. It's no use, that seed. When it grow up, it be congested by all these thorn and bushes. It won't bear fruit. Cultivate that first. Get rid of that thorn and bushes. And then sow the good seed. And that's how you circumcise your heart. Circumcise your heart is only Jesus Christ can do it. No one can do it for you. And circumcise in your heart, that's the reality. That means you listen to God's word and you obey Him. You hide His word within your heart. And you put it into practice, and then you'll be blessed. And then I talk to you one more. The difference between a new person, a new man, is circumcised by Christ. Only a new man can enter the kingdom of God. Go back to Psalm. Psalm 87 was what? He has set his foundation on the holy mountain. That foundation is the foundation of the new Jerusalem. Is the foundation of the new bride, is the foundation of the city of the living God, as we call it in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. You write that down. The Lord loved the gates of Zion. You write that down. That gate is Revelation chapter 21, 21. Make a pearl. There are 12 gates. The Lord loved the gate of Zion more than all the dwelling of Jacob. Not everyone live in Jerusalem, early Jerusalem, are Christian. Not everyone who are in the promised land right now, the Jewish people, are God's people. So that's why the Lord said, the Lord loved the gate of Zion more than all the dwelling of Jacob. Because not everyone are circumcised by our Lord Jesus Christ. Not everyone put their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says, glorious things are set of you, O city of God. City of God is rest on the foundation, solid foundation on the holy mountain. And I will be called Rahab and Babylon among those who acknowledge me. Those who acknowledge me, they are certainly write that down. They are circumcised in their ear, they are circumcised in their heart. They are truly God's people. Truly God's people not only come from the Jewish people, can also come from Rahab, that's Egypt, Babylon, and Philistia, and Tyre, and along with Cush. And you say this one was born in Zion. Indeed, of Zion it will be said, this one and that one was born in her. The Most High Himself will establish her. The Lord will write in the register of the people, this one was born in Zion. As they will make music and will sing, all my fountains are in you. The reason why they are happy, because they are circumcised in their ear, they are circumcised in their heart, according to the teaching of Jeremiah. But according to Paul's teaching in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, make sure you have circumcision by our Lord Jesus Christ. Put it off the simple nature of your desire. And then to do God's will. To obey Him. And you are truly God's people. Alright? This is the first teaching. I want to stop here. Okay? And one more. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 14 to 15. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. This circumcision, you write that down, is by the hand of man. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision mean anything. What kind is a new creation? Write that down. New creation is you are not circumcised in the male organ. You are circumcised in your ear. You are circumcised in your heart. Then you store up God's word within your heart. You listen to God's word and you're going to put it into practice. You are new creation. You write that down, right beside new creation. You write that down, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. How do you know that He prepared for me to do? Because your ear has been circumcised. You know what you have to do. Because He guided you. You have God's word within your heart. God's word is the lamp to my path, light to my feet. And every step that I go, I know this is what God wants me to do. Go back. Doesn't matter whether you have circumcised by the hand of man or uncircumcision like the Gentile. It means nothing. What kind is a new creation? You write that down. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1. Because circumcision by the hand of man is only a shadow of the good things to come, not the reality. The reality is Colossians 2:11, circumcision by Christ. If we truly understand that, then we come to realize Paul is not opposing Moses. You need to be circumcised. Same as in the Old Testament, you need to offer a goat, offer a lamb, offer an ox as a sacrifice, right? But that one is only a shadow of the good thing to come. Who is offering the sacrifice? Jesus Christ offered himself as a sacrifice to die for our sins. So I go back to another teaching. I hope you understand. Okay? Go to another teaching. Verse 12. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigner to the covenant of the promise, right beside foreigner to the covenant of the promise. Why were we foreigner? Why were we foreigner to the covenant of the promise? You write that down. Some verse 19 and 20. God has revealed his word to Jacob. God has revealed his law and decree to Israel. You put this together, his word, his law, his decree. That means God has revealed his covenant. I want you to write that down. Right beside 147, 19. You write down Psalm 105. God remember his covenant forever. 105 verse 8. God remember his covenant forever. What is his covenant? His covenant is the word he commanded for 1,000 generations. God remember not only forever, remember for 1,000 generations. The covenant he made with Abraham, verse 9. The oath he swore to Isaac, verse 10. He confirmed his covenant to Jacob as a decree. Write that down, the word decree. You circle the word, you write down Psalm 147, verse 19. God has revealed his word, his law, his decree to Jacob, to Israel. And verse 20, he has done this for no other nation. They do not know his law. That's why we are foreigners to the covenant of the promise. Without hope and without God. You don't have God's word, you have no hope. You don't have God's word, you have no God. Because his name is the word of God. You don't know his word, you haven't believed in Jesus Christ yet. Because the name of Jesus Christ is the word of God. According to Revelation chapter 19, verse 13. You have no word, you have no hope, you have no God. You get nothing. And I understand. We are born to the covenant because he didn't reveal it to us. In our home, we wasn't a Christian home. My father didn't teach me the Old Testament or the New Testament. I don't know anything about that until I become a Christian and I study the Bible. Keep going, Psalm 105. He confirmed his covenant to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. And then what are the content of the covenant? God said, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. I want to write that down. To you, I will give you the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. You write that down. The land of Canaan. You write down Hebrew, chapter 10, verse 1. That land of Canaan is not the reality. It's a shadow of the good thing to come. What are the reality? Revelation, chapter 21 and 22. They are the reality. They are the good thing to come. Michael, do you understand what I just said? Could you speak out loud? What did you hear today?
So things that were talked about in the Old Testament were are only shadows to what is to come in the New Testament, which will happen in the future.
Circumcision by man is only a shadow of the good thing to come. We've done that, we wait for the reality. Wait for the good thing to come. Inherit the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, is only what? It's only a shadow of the good things to come, not the reality. We still have to wait for what? Remember yesterday, what did I change? Praise the Lord, what did I change? Not the hope for tomorrow, the heavenly hope, the heavenly blessing. If you live a godly life, brother and sister, you not only be able to enter the promised land, the land of Canaan. Now, if you live a godly life, you will get the reality. You will inherit. Psalm 87, your name will be registered in the city of the living God. That's Revelation 21 and 22. That is the blessing that we're looking forward to receive. Before, we don't know that. Now we know it. Should we build our life on the solid foundation of the apostle and prophet? Should we? If I don't study the scripture and reveal it to you, I don't think you know that. You think, well, I inherit the land of Canaan. It's good enough. But Psalm 87 said that. The heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, that gate is better than the dwelling of Jacob. Because not everyone dwelt in Jacob's land, a Christian believing in Jesus Christ. Make sure you come to the church. You don't listen to the sermon alone. Make sure you study the scripture yourself. You can ignore my teaching. Eventually, you pay for it. Okay? Just like the people of Israel, they pay for it. And until now, they still don't get the blessing that God has in store for them. Okay? Now I go to verse 13. But now, chapter 2, verse 13, Ephesians. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away has been brought near through the blood of Christ. Has been brought near through the blood of Christ. That is in conformity with the teaching of the Old Testament. Because only the high priest, great high priest, can enter the most holy place once a year. How can he enter? He has to wash his hand, wash his feet. He has to have a priestly garment. Priestly garment means clothed with Jesus Christ. Take off his regular garment, put on the priestly garment, with a crown, and enter into the most holy place. with his hand clean, with his feet clean, and then he has to be anointed with the oil, favor in his ear, in his tongue, and in his toes. And he has to be touched by the blood of the animal in his hand, in the tongue, toe, and ear. With all these, your sin will be forgiven. You can enter in. Because with blood here in your ear, then you're circumcised with your ear, and circumcised with your heart, and all your sins are forgiven, as recorded in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 to 34. If you hide God's word within your heart, your sin will not be remembered. All your sins will be forgiven because you are circumcised in your heart. You have God's word within your heart. You have covenant within your heart. You make that covenant with Christ, and all your sin has been forgiven. And now you can enter. Through the blood of Christ, you can get access to the Heavenly Father. Okay? Now, I keep on reading it. Verse 14. For Christ Jesus himself is our peace. Right beside he himself is our peace. You write that Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Jesus Christ's name is called the Prince of Peace. If he give us peace, indeed we will have peace. He himself is our peace, who has made the true one right beside the two. You write that. The two is the Jews and the Gentile. That are the twos. Make the two one. One in one body. That is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier and the dividing wall of hostility. I don't know whether you remember. Let's say this is the map of the tabernacle. That's the most holy place. And there's the holy place. And outside, there's a priest to serve God in that area. And then the male, the man are here, and the woman are here, and then Gentiles are outside. They are all divided. They don't worship God, male and female together. Male on one side, female on the other side. Jewish closer, Gentile farther away. They have dividing wall. And that's the Old Testament teaching. And Paul said that because Jesus Christ died on the cross. The reason why there's a separation, when man and woman worship together, the reason why there's a separation, because they can't concentrate to worship God. So that's why they separate man and woman in the worship. And then there's a separation between the Gentile and the Jew. There's a dividing wall. And that wall, Paul called that the wall of hostility. Because that means the Jewish people is better than you. That's a hostility. But until Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for the price, pray for our sins, there's no more division. So all these walls are taken down. Okay? I want to read that to you. Verse 15. I read verse 14 again. For Jesus Christ himself is our peace, who has made the two one, has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. How did he destroy the barrier? Verse 15, by abolishing in his flesh, the law with its commandment and regulation. So what does it mean? By abolishing the law with its commandment and regulation. And that's a big problem. Right beside verse 15, abolishing the law and its commandment and regulation. You write down Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. If you listen to Jesus' teaching, it superficially looks like Paul's teaching is against Jesus' teaching. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophet. Right beside abolish, you write down Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 15. By abolishing in his flesh the law with this commandment and regulation. Paul said that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he abolished the law with this commandment and regulation. That causes division, that dividing Jews from the Gentile, man from the woman. But Jesus said, don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophet. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Until everything is accomplished, right circle the word is accomplished. You write down Gospel of John, chapter 19, the second last saying, Jesus Christ said, it is finished, 19:30. When Jesus has received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. I want to stop here. I only get 5 more minutes. I want to test your understanding. Jesus said, don't ever think that when I come here is to abolish the law and the prophet. I come here is to fulfill it, to accomplish it. 19:30, Gospel of John, he said, it is finished. Whatever you call me to do, I done it. Right beside 19:30, you write that Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 34. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish it. He do the will of God and to finish God's will. God's will for him is to what? Abolish the law and regulation and commandment. But then he says, don't ever think I come here to abolish the law. Moses, is there a contradiction or there's no contradiction? Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, don't ever think I come to abolish the law. Are you telling me, Moses? Are you telling me, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, Paul teaching? And he said, Jesus Christ coming to abolish the law, commandment within regulation.
That guy, you know, he just jumped and said, you know, you got to be no contradiction. You know, the Bible is not contradiction.
Yeah, Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit, kicking the eyes of him. But the wording is contradiction, right?
Listen to me. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, all our sins are forgiven. You don't need to divide man and woman. You don't need to divide the Gentile and the Jews. You know why at that time they need to divide the Gentile from the Jews? Because Jewish people is God's word. God's afraid that you will be influenced by the Gentile people and to worship God. You understand? So that's why have them separation. You remember that? When Joseph was sold as a slave and go and went ahead of the Jewish people, 70 people, they go to Egypt. They live in a separate place. They don't mingle together with the Egyptian. They isolation, you know what I mean? Separate from them. So that they will be influenced by the outside world. So that they understand. You know what? You know why Christians they don't grow? Because they were influenced by the outside world. Their mindset was changed by the world will. They don't have God's word to confide. They don't have God's word to guide. Okay? So that's why sometimes they go this way, sometimes they go that way, you know? Never go straight. People become affected by the gender. Brother and sister, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, our ear, our heart has been circumcised. We become a new man. We won't be affected by it. We can change it. You understand? In the Old Testament, they say you cannot mingle with the Gentile because they are no good. They don't have God's word. God hasn't revealed his plan to him, his covenant to him, right? But I have revealed my plan to you. So you follow my plan, you'll get a blessing. Now we know God's plan. Everything is clear. Don't need to have any dividing wall. Abolishing, not abolishing the entire Old Testament. Only abolishing one. Like male and female separation. That's why in Galatians, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Once you are baptized into Christ, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. Clothe yourself with Christ. That means you are circumcised in your ear, circumcised in your heart. You are in tune, in connection with Jesus Christ. You're clothed with Jesus Christ. When you're clothed with Jesus Christ, you are a new person. You have peace within your heart. Verse 28, there's neither Jews nor Greek. No more separation. Neither slave nor free, male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. All one in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians chapter 2. Say, I make the two one. I make the two one, that means no more divisions of hostility. And that portion of the scripture, that portion of the commandment, have been abolished. Because that one stopping the Jewish people to mingle with Jewish Christian, mingle with Gentile Christian. If you are Christian, if you are baptized into Jesus Christ, no more separation. Does that make sense? So I just stop here. So I haven't even finished, but all these things that I explained to you, what emphasis do I put into? Now you are not separate from the Jewish people, not separate from Christ. You have the word of God. You better build your life up in the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Our Heavenly Father, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. I pray that you forgive all our sins, cleanse all our unrighteousness. Anything that hinder us to come near to you, anything that hinder us to come near to our brother and sister, whether they are Jews or Gentile, you take it all away. You are born sin. We give you thanks for that. So there's no more separation. You indeed are peace. And I pray that you help us to understand that.
And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.